Hi, this is Scott Snibbe, host of A Skeptic's Path to Enlightenment. I've just released a new book called How to Train a Happy Mind that shares the accessible approach to Buddhism familiar to podcast listeners. The book features a foreword by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and you can order it right now anywhere you buy books. There are many live events planned from March through August in New York, California, and New Mexico that I'll be attending in person with some of the great artists, authors, and activists you've heard on the podcast, like Robert Thurman, Laurie Anderson, and Sujata Baliga. Many of these events can also be streamed online. Go to our website at skepticspath.org for more details on the book and tour. I'm your host, Scott Snibbe, and in this week's episode of A Skeptic's Path to Enlightenment, we're looking at two problems familiar to most of our listeners at this time of the coronavirus lockdown. Problems that are polar opposites. Some of us feeling lonely in enforced solitude, while others crushed in with their families 24 hours a day with little time for solitude at all. We'll take a nourishing approach to these challenges through a guided meditation that explores a deep source of strength and support accessible to each of us anytime we need it, whether alone or with others, a support we can always find in our own mind. From the Buddhist perspective, this topic is called refuge. This week, we'll explore our inner sources of refuge, primarily through a meditation that brings us closer to our deeper, subtler, ever-present nourishing aspects of mind. And next week, we'll look at some of the outer sources of refuge that we turn to, both nourishing ones and the ones that sometimes cause us harm. Right now, half the world is under some sort of lockdown. For those of us fortunate enough to be able to stay at home, who aren't required to be out in the world working now dangerous jobs, we're paradoxically faced with either a lot of newfound time alone or none at all. There are the people who are with their families like me, suddenly with little or no time alone, serving as teacher and playmate to their kids, cook to the family, and head of health and security for the home. For those of us in that situation, moms, dads, children, and roommates, we may need to imagine what it was like a few short weeks ago when we had time to ourselves. This is a time we're realizing how important our alone time was and how much we miss it. Then for others, without kids or immediate family at home, you're now finding yourself alone all day. Some of you are desperately lonely. Phone and video calls help, but there's no substitute for a real person's presence. The feeling of seeing and being seen, the comfort of physical touch in hugs and held hands. But being alone isn't the same as being lonely. Science shows the benefits of healthy alone time to include increased empathy, productivity, creativity, mental strength, and the one we focus on at Skeptic's Path, coming to better understand yourself through self-reflection. What you do when you're alone is important. It determines whether this time nourishes your happiness and mental stability or feeds your fears and delusions. In next week's episode, we'll explore the variety of objects we turn to for support, objects we call refuge in Buddhism. But for today, we're taking an inward, self-nourishing approach, offering some antidotes to both loneliness and feeling overwhelmed with the constant presence of others. The very first meditation we did together was on the mind, and we're not really done with that topic. In fact, we won't ever be done with that topic, since from both the scientific and the Buddhist perspectives, that's all that there is. Our personal psychological experience is all that any of us experience directly, whether interpreting sense phenomena or generating our own inner reality of thoughts and feelings. While earlier we talked about the mind as a beautiful, boundless inner place to explore, today we're looking at the clarity of our inner awareness as a refuge that you can turn to in times of pain and difficulty, equally applicable in times of loneliness or feeling overwhelmed with others. When you become accustomed to the mind as a place of inner strength and natural ability, it's always there for you. But depending on the difficulty you're facing, you may find different meditative approaches more or less effective. Meditation, as it stems from the Tibetan tradition, isn't a one-size-fits-all approach, but more one of fitting the suitable treatment to whatever's causing you pain. Today, we'll focus on two topical sources of mental distress, side effects of our global lockdown. On the one hand, feeling lonely, and on the other, feeling overwhelmed with the constant presence of others. And we'll do this now by moving into a meditation. If you're in the crush of your family, hopefully you can find some short stretch of alone time right now by putting in some headphones, finding a spot to hide, or maybe going out for a walk. And if you're in the opposite situation, on your own, it should be easy to find a calm place to meditate undisturbed. So, find a quiet corner to sit and meditate, either cross-legged on the floor, or in a chair, legs straight out and down, feet flat on the ground. Elevate yourself on a cushion if you're on the floor, and place your hands in your lap, palms up, or on your knees. Relax your shoulders, your neck, all the muscles in your face. Tilt your head down slightly and half close your eyes. Slightly open your lips and place your tongue at the roof of your mouth. For a minute, bring your focus to your breath, the air coming in and out of your nostrils, cool as it enters, warm as it exits. Without changing the way you breathe in any way, simply observe your breath. It's okay if it's fast and shallow. It's okay if it's slow and deep. But it's likely to slow as you settle into relaxation. And if this happens, just notice this too. If other thoughts come up as you meditate, other feelings, perceptions, memories, or plans, just let them pass by, like clouds in the sky. Your mind is like the clear sky, an open space, aware and knowing, and your breath is the object it returns to. So for 1 minute, focus on your breath. Now, from this calmer state, we'll look at these different cases of life under lockdown. The difficulties of people nevertheless more fortunate than many others. Those of us without illness, without loss of income, who don't have to go to a dangerous job. Those of us who are simply trapped at home. We'll look at these two situations of either being alone and feeling lonely, or being crushed with family, feeling overwhelmed. And as you meditate on the situation that isn't the one you're currently living with, it's not something to skip, it's still useful. Try and use that meditation as a way to feel compassion. Start with people you know, and then expand to people you don't. Imagine the family, friends, and neighbors who are in the opposite situation of yours, lonely or overwhelmed. In this way, you can transform the part of the meditation that doesn't address your particular situation into a meditation on compassion, on love, on feeling close to others. We'll start with the situation for those that are alone. If you're one of these people, bring to mind what's been hard for you about being alone. And if you're not alone, but at home with family or roommates, use your memory and imagination to reflect on those people in the situation of being alone right now, those who are feeling lonely. For many of us, it's our parents or grandparents, locked down even from going to the grocery store or out for a walk. Feeling lonely is the most obvious pain of being alone. Missing others, craving their company. And loneliness has its offshoots, feeling unsafe, feeling bored, feeling cravings that grow and seem to demand satisfaction. You can notice that all these feelings have a flavor of not being comfortable with your situation. And since your situation is alone, there's an element of not being comfortable with yourself. You can accept these feelings without judgment, while also applying this critical analysis, understanding your feelings, seeing them more clearly. Thich Nhat Hanh says that happiness comes from what he calls a home inside, a home that is found by accepting yourself, learning to love and to heal yourself, learning how to practice mindfulness that creates moments of happiness and joy for your own nourishment by simply being present and aware. Let's take a moment to get to know ourselves in that way. This doesn't mean pushing away your pain or your suffering. It's not denial. It's quite the opposite. When you come to know and accept and understand your own pain, paradoxically, through this process, you can find a calm and a stillness and a joy that underlies all your mental experience, even loneliness, even anxiety, and even fear. Try and steer your mind inward now, without wishing to change your mind in any way. Allow thoughts to appear, but find some distance from these thoughts. Notice that you can observe your thoughts. You can watch them arise, watch them take center stage in your consciousness, and then watch them fade away. We'll try and do this now for a minute. Simply watch your thoughts, whatever they are. Accept your feelings. There's no need to push away any fear, any loneliness. Just accept it. Observe it. And as you do, see also that your heart can open, that observing your thoughts almost as if they are someone else's, you come to understand them better. You see the cause and effect that brought them to your consciousness. And you also can come to feel love and compassion for yourself, to understand your own pain better. Then, with careful observation, you see that your mental states are impermanent, changeable, and that your mind has a constant capacity to transform, and that this is a natural source of inner strength. Meditate like this for a minute. Observe and accept your thoughts and feelings without judgment. See them intertwined within an endless web of cause and effect. See how your feelings don't last, how they appear and change and disappear. This changeability itself is a comfort, that even as you hurt the most, those feelings are already fading away. Do this now for 1 minute. Observe your thoughts and watch them change. And now, with this distance from your thoughts, see that there is a deeper part of yourself that's always there beneath the thoughts, that's hard to put into words. Steer your mind away from those grosser thoughts and feelings, your fear and loneliness, and see that there's a deeper, ever-present part of yourself that has a different quality, the qualities of clarity, of being unobscured, that allows anything, thoughts, feelings, perceptions, to arise within it, without itself being disturbed. Just as science shows that unobstructed space itself underlies everything that sits within it, so there is an open, unobstructed aspect of our mind underlying all mental experience. The deeper part of your mind is like a mirror. And, like a mirror, there's a certain beauty to it, regardless of what it reflects at any moment. It's impossible to see a mirror directly. You only see it through what it reflects. But the mirror has this capacity to reflect. It's a quality of the mirror. And your mind has this capacity too, this quality of clarity and reflection. There's also a feeling of knowing in that deeper, subtler part of the mind, of directly experiencing, a quality that goes beyond words and even beyond concepts. And that knowing, experiencing, has a quality to it, a kind of wisdom. If you probe that quality, it can feel joyful. It embraces even your most difficult thoughts and feelings. Those difficult thoughts and feelings are made of that same awareness, that same profound quality of clarity and knowing that underlies all mental phenomena. Try now for a minute to connect with that deeper part of yourself, the part of yourself that you can usually find only when you're quiet and alone. It may take some time, and it may take more than one session. Feel free to pause the recording if you want to explore for more than a minute, for 10 or even 20 or 30 minutes. The extra time you spend may reward you with experiences you've never had before. now you may feel, or at least you may feel the possibility, of a comfort in being alone, an inner joy. You may have felt this at other times alone, when you were reading or cooking or listening to music or creating something or out for a walk or working quietly alone. But the point of meditation is to distill that happiness and joy and stability in being alone, in being your own best friend, away from any activity at all. That there's a joy in being with yourself, in knowing yourself at the deepest, subtlest level. The particular activity isn't what makes you happy. The activity is a pathway to finding the inner happiness that's always there within you. Meditation becomes a path to consistently find this happiness of connecting with yourself in ways that food and music and even friends and family don't stably, don't always bring about. Try and see how the joy and comfort you find in others is really a reflection of your own capacity to be present and aware, a capacity that's always with you, always accessible to you. They say the greatest gift you can give another person is your attention, and that's the greatest gift you can give yourself as well. Being alone isn't a lonely way station between meetings with others, or a stopgap before you get to the next busy project. Being alone in meditation is enough in itself. The more you meditate like this, the more you realize that you need nothing else to be happy than a little space and time and peace and solitude. And now, consider those of us feeling overwhelmed by our families right now, by too much of a good thing. The things you might have worked your whole life to attain, a loving partner, children, a nice home. But now you're craving time alone to work, to reflect, to relax or to exercise, or simply to think. Maybe now you have a 16-hour workday as teacher, playmate, cook, nurse, and head of security for your home. And if you're not in this situation, with a home packed full of family or roommates, use this part of the meditation to empathetically connect and feel compassion for those that are. Now, you're realizing the power, the value, of time alone. That itself is beneficial. Perhaps it's something you can carry away after this crisis ends, how important it is to deepen that connection with yourself on a regular basis. So that's one benefit of this difficult time. We often only realize how much we treasure something when we lose it. When I finally get back my quiet time, I'm not going to take it for granted. I'll try and use it purposefully, taking some of that time each day to connect with myself through meditation. But how do we deal with the crush of those around us at home right now? If you already have a meditative practice, it can help to recall the nature of your mind in meditation, its boundless spaciousness, and the experience of realizing that you aren't your thoughts, perceptions, and emotions. They say that your practice really begins when you get off the cushion. So, this is a chance to practice what was only theoretical on the cushion. If you're new to meditation, though, this can be difficult. Without the practice of reflecting on the mind in solitude, it can be hard to be mindfully present and aware in the chaos of a busy life. There's a practice of learning to stay with whatever is happening inside you, not feeling like you need to run away from your family or from yourself. Simple acceptance of your situation, instead of feeling frustration, or self-pity. As someone's asking for your attention, as chaos surrounds you, one way to practice is to ask yourself, what is going on in my mind? If you're close to lashing out or losing your patience or temper, being still is a useful practice. You can feel so good about yourself by simply not lashing out, not becoming impatient, when you know you're on the edge of doing so. That alone can transform your mood, feeling proud of yourself that you held it together. And then watching, labeling what's going on in your mind, acknowledging the thoughts and feelings passing through your mind, without letting them take over your speech and body, thinking, I'm feeling frustrated, I want some time alone, I'm sick of saying the same thing over and over again, having the same problems again and again, I'm feeling impatient. It's okay just to accept all these feelings and thoughts. Thoughts and feelings that aren't you, but that are passing through you. See if you can hold still. Perhaps step away and tell your family you need a few minutes to yourself, or go out for a walk and just watch your mind. Become aware of what's going through your mind. Label and accept these disturbances of the mind without feeling bad for having them, without even pushing them away. And paradoxically, by accepting them, by labeling them, but not trying to change them in any way, these feelings change and often diminish, simply because it's their nature to diminish. You need to actively feed your delusions, actively hold on to them. Otherwise, they simply disappear on their own. Do this now for 1 minute. Observe your thoughts and watch them change. When you let go like this, you soon gain some perspective, even a sense of humor, laughing at yourself at how you were feeling moments ago. What seemed so important or powerful is now fading away, and now it's gone. If you recall our last two topics, they're relevant right now, and the reason we meditate on them is to have them at hand for times like this. Impermanence means that things are always changing. If I'm at peak annoyance, I can know that the direction my mind will move is toward feeling less annoyed, forgiving, and later, moving to calm. It's inevitable. No one stays angry forever. It takes effort to remain angry. And then there's cause and effect to consider too. The topic from the last 2 weeks. The way I react didn't come out of nowhere. It's part of my conditioned behavior. Patterns with my partner and family, ones I had in prior relationships, ones I learned growing up, or from society, or even imprinted by evolution. You can even follow the endless chain of cause and effect back to the birth of the universe. How your interconnection to everything that exists has led you to this moment of feeling frustrated and angry and overwhelmed right now. A sense of perspective and even wonder like this can transform your self-focused feelings of anger and isolation into one of vast interconnectedness. Another powerful approach that leverages a bigger view is compassion. You can use your disturbances to think about all the other people feeling the same way right now. We're all in the same boat. This is the last powerful antidote, which we had a small taste of in episode 8, Combating Coronavirus Fear with Compassion. I can use my disturbing feelings to feel compassion for so many others who are feeling the same way. And these feelings can lead me to compassion also for those who are worse off. Big families packed into vast apartment complexes in Italy, in China, in New York. Immigrant families here in America who've lost their jobs and have no way to earn money for food, rent, or medicine. People who've lost their health insurance. People who've lost their jobs. People feeling the same as me. And people feeling worse. We're all in the same boat, and I couldn't feel as close to them without this taste of suffering that helps me better understand theirs. Through these meditations, we've approached both of these challenges of ordinary people at home during the coronavirus crisis, both feeling lonely and feeling overwhelmed by our families or roommates. It's interesting to see that both problems can be addressed through getting to know yourself better, through accepting yourself and learning to stay with whatever's arising in your mind, diving deeper into your psyche to understand who you are beneath your thoughts, feelings, and perceptions. Coming to know yourself better, to love yourself, to be your own best friend. It's something you can do in meditation. And if you remember, you can do it also during the day as you interact with others, silently as you're in a difficult situation, or stepping aside for a few moments to reconnect with yourself in this way. Coming out of these phases of self-reflection, you then find more energy for others. With deep, consistent practice, you're happy when you're alone. You're happy when you're with others. You're happy when life brings you good news, and you're happy when problems arise. Happiness comes from deep inside us, and meditation's a path to consistently find a stable calm and joy that's not dependent on other people, on possessions, on music or TV or social media or anything outside ourselves.